Let's take our seats. We turn to page 1057 with that Advent reading in Luke's Gospel today. Advent time for being ready. Let's pray God would help us to be ready. Heavenly Father, we'd be singing about forever and eternal things. And Lord, we know that your eternity is breaking in so many different ways, your heavenly reality and this world, Lord, connected, especially in Jesus, who stepped down out of darkness, as we sang earlier. Lord, we thank you that his plan and purpose is to fulfill your salvation rescue plan for this world. And Lord, we pray that we may be ready when he comes or when we go to him, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the church in Marilyn on Thursday evening, there was one major concern. Would the lights come on? And we had lots of people primed to go and switch on lights. And we warned the congregation, just keep clapping until they're all on. We really didn't know there would be any technical mishaps or any difficulties. The countdown began, lots of passionate children, 10, now, we're not going to recreate it now, and they began to count down. And thankfully, much to the relief, I have to say, of the organizing committee, it all worked. Brilliant. And as I said earlier, well done to everyone who's made the festival such a special occasion in the life of the parish. And some people have said, you know, this is a truly historic thing. This has been a wonderfully different, something special and unique. Our passage this morning is about another countdown, but not the one that is something history-making, as much as it is a countdown to history ending. Whenever we meet Jesus in Luke 21, we might be surprised on this first Sunday in December that we're thinking of Jesus approaching the cross. It might sound strange that in the run up to Christmas, we revisit the story of Easter. But we'll see why in a moment. But that day was the Wednesday of Holy Week, the day before he gathers the disciples for the Last Supper in the upper room, 2 days before he goes to the crucifixion. And Jesus is in the temple. And there he shares what is, well, it's going to happen very soon. He shares about the destruction of that building, the temple, that key place, that focal point for Israel, key point in Judaism. It's going to be destroyed within 40 years. But he looks beyond that to the time whenever the world is shaken, when he comes again in his glory, his second coming. And it's as if history is compressed and concertinaed as Jesus teaches there in the temple. You have his ministry 2,000 years ago. You have his death on the horizon. You have the imminent destruction of the city and the temple in Jerusalem. And you've Jesus coming again, which is still ahead of us, up ahead now. We're still looking forward to this. And you have them all compressed together, concertinaed into one moment in Jesus' ministry, so that we can see God's plan working out. And whenever the people saw the destruction of Jerusalem, they should have said, yes, Jesus told us this would happen. He also told us he would come back. And because he kept his word before, we can rely on him to keep his word again. That's the sense in which we read Scripture. We pick up the Old Testament and we say, well, God kept that promise and that promise and that promise. Why would he not keep all of his promises? And he does. But Advent helps us to focus on what is coming, what lies ahead still in the future for us. Not, as I said earlier, thinking primarily of Jesus' birth and Jesus coming as the baby of Bethlehem, but rather his return as the King of Glory, for whom we have been called to make way. Now, over the last few days, I wondered, how can I make a link from this reading, this Advent Sunday Advent reading in Luke's Gospel, to the themes that we've been touching on this week, and the visual spectacle that we have in the parish, in the church in Marilyn. But it leaps out from the text. I wonder if you've spotted it already, where we might go with this. Verse 29. See what Jesus says? It's in red in my Bible here. Look at the fig trees and all the trees. It's perfect. Jesus says, look at all the trees, and that's good enough for me. Jesus tells his listeners then, and by extension to us now, have your eyes opened, looking for signs, looking for meaning in the things around you. Be open-eyed and alert and ready. Jesus says, when they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Jesus says that the breaking in of God's kingdom is something that will be evident to those who are alert and ready. It might be difficult for us sometimes to discern if summer is coming, because sometimes for us it feels that summer never comes. But we're supposed to be aware of the passing of the seasons, even though they seem to be all mixed up these days. But you and I can get the gist of what Jesus means. He says there will be signs of his coming if we have our eyes open. What kind of signs? Well, we find that they're on a cosmic scale. It's not just about an individual tree in an individual place hidden away from most people. This will be noticeable whenever Jesus comes back. Just as we have the trees with their distinct messages, all with their particular focus, Jesus says his coming will be heralded in a different way, on a different scale. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Now, the staging committee spent a lot of time working out how the festival could best make an impact. God has done something on a larger scale. God has brought together his whole creative, awesome power so that the message we're thinking about today will be heralded to the whole universe. I don't know if you have any snow globes at home. I'm not sure anyone wants to admit to that. I used to think they were appropriate gifts from school trips. And when the days when TVs were wide enough to have a top on them and you could set things on there, my mother, bless her, put them up. And they weren't always the most attractive, tasteful things, it must be said, that I brought home. But it's almost like God takes the world and gives it a shake and says, wake up, Jesus is coming back. The globe itself will be shaken. And Jesus says the kind of things that will happen. There will be international conflict. Well, we don't have to look too far for it today. There will be portents, as it were, in the natural world. The world will shake when Jesus is returning. Verses 25 and 26. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Powerful. God will shake the world. The world will be trembling in readiness for the return of Jesus. Now, some of this is fulfilled, as I said, within just a generation and a bit, 40 years afterwards. And if you've ever seen the story of Masada and how Israel fled and hid in the wilderness and all those things, you'll know that it was a world-shaking time. But there is another time in fulfillment of this when Jesus will come back, when the world will fade away. But God's promises remain. See that? Jesus says lots of things will pass away, but God's promises remain. One of the commentaries I read on this passage said, creation itself is not as permanent as the promises God has given. Sun, moon, and stars will fade. God's word has that eternal quality. And because it's eternal, and because God has never failed to take his promises seriously and make them in faithfulness, then we need to be ready. But I do get the sense very often that the world is skeptical about the coming again of Jesus. Partly because all across the world, for 2,000 years now, people have cried not so much wolf in terms of saying, here is Jesus' imminent return, but Messiah. They've said the Messiah has come. There are cults around the world today which are claiming that Jesus has already returned. We haven't noticed it. Because whenever he comes, we will pay attention. We will notice. There will be no mistaking his return when he comes. But sadly, And Jesus knew this would be an issue. Paul writes many of his epistles with a sense of people getting tired of waiting for Jesus' return. How often do we long to see him come back, and yet we know the incredible consequences, both, as it were, positive and negative, that will be that will happen whenever he comes back. But no one will fail to notice. Verses 27 and 28. That time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus' warning, Jesus' sign, helps us to acknowledge that some will be distracted. Some will fail to recognize what they're being told here. It's a tragic reality. Some people see the signs and don't realize what the signs mean. I don't know if you were driving much on Friday evening past. Ruth and I were out in the car, and even though I traveled that particular road pretty recently, I had to be extra vigilant because of the fog, and I had to look out for the signs. Still managed to take the wrong turn. Was quite sure I was on the right place. But Jesus here warns in words that are about fogginess of heart and mind. Jesus warns against us being foggy. I can't speak from any personal experience of a hangover. I'm not intending to do any experiments to find out what it's like. But the Greek words that Jesus uses in verse 34 talk about that fuzziness, allegedly, I have never experienced, of thought and action associated with too much alcohol in your bloodstream. It's a Greek word for a hangover. He says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you like an unexpected trap. Elsewhere we hear that Jesus comes like a thief in the night. Here it says it will creep up on people who should know, because there are signs all around, who are ignorant, who are drunk or hungover. Jesus says instead, be awake, be alert. See the signs and act on the signs. Seeing the signs and not paying attention is pointless. Jesus says in verse 36, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, so that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Think about it. Jesus stood in the shadow of his own cross that day as he said these very sobering words. We stand today in the light of his resurrection. He rose again. We stand in the expectation of his coming again. He will return. We're called today not to be in the dark, but to be in the light about what all this signifies, the message of his coming again. One of the things that's really moved me and moved many of the people who have had the chance to read some of them is the responses that people have made at the Christmas Tree Festival. This is so much more than just a fundraising event. People have responded in all kinds of different ways. Some have shared that they've been moved to tears because they've really engaged with the text. They've done the journey, as it were, all the way through the trees and come to the cross, come to what's called the wounded tree, come to that holly bush that reflects on the Christmas message. People have shed tears, tears of joy, tears, I suppose, of gratitude, some perhaps of remorse, and just personal conviction, really, really deeply moved. People have put some very helpful responses on the visitors' trees. There's huge numbers of those little red tags, each signifying someone has been there and engaged with the whole journey. They're going to be a powerful record to what's happened this last few days. I don't think it would be possible to fully engage with things and not be emotionally involved, be touched by the story once again. But it could be that you've never actually allowed these world-shaking promises of Jesus to touch your heart today. Maybe you've never made any kind of personal response. Or maybe your response has been indifference. So what? So what? Jesus was born. So what? He died for the world. So what? He's coming again. Doesn't matter. Maybe We have that restricted view of Jesus. He said, well, it's history. It's past. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, doesn't matter anymore. But his relevance is historical, but not in the past tense. He's not yesterday's man. He is the same, he said himself, yesterday, today, and forever. It's implied in his own promise. He is Alpha and Omega, and in the words in Hebrews 2. Advent is about looking forward. Advent is about looking forward to the fulfillment of God's plan and promises in Jesus. Peter, who clearly heard Jesus share this message that Wednesday of Holy Week, later wrote in his second letter, 2 Peter 3, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And I think that includes us as part of God's creation. And whenever we think of these Christmas tree displays, I don't think anyone's particularly looking forward to taking down the trees. I don't think it will be practical, however, to keep them all the way through. But some people think one Christmas tree might look a bit lonely, having been up there with 70 friends. But you can imagine it will look a lot different to the way it is at the minute. But it will be laid bare, undressed, as it were. But there comes a time in all our lives when the layers are stripped back and the basics, the essence, is exposed. It'll happen in this world. It'll happen in our lives. And what will come into our lives at that point? Well, if we believe in Jesus' promises, what we get to enjoy at that point is so much better than what we have now. How will we respond? What would we write on a little tag if we were sending a message to God today, or celebrating, or acknowledging Him? We might be all caroled out within the next few weeks, so I'm going to get one in before too long pieces and we passes, and we dull our sense of what they say by familiarity. But it says, and our eyes at last shall see Him through His own redeeming love. For that child, so dear and gentle, is our Lord in heaven above, and He leads His children on to the place where He is gone. Our enjoyment of that new reality that Jesus promises, that better reality, depends on our seeing the signs and responding to the signs now, seeing past pictures to the reality that they tell us of. There are lots of things I don't know in this world. There are lots of things none of us know. We don't know much in many ways about the timing of the coming of Jesus, except what He has given us here. We all want to know when. But we need to heed the warning. We need to accept the invitation to life in His kingdom when it fully comes, to be vigilant and to be prepared, to see past the signs to what they point us to. Jesus said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Let's spend a moment in quietness, just trying to take in the incredible images that Jesus uses to remind us that He will come again. Praise group are going to come forward, and after our prayer, we're going to lead us in a new song. We remain seated until they ask us to stand. See the King of Glory coming on the clouds of fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are the world-creating God. You are the world-shaking God. You are the world-saving God. We pray that You would minister into our lives today. If our eyes are blinded, if our minds are dull, if our hearts are apathetic, we pray, Lord, that You would break in by Your word, spoken by Your Son, Jesus. Make us ready, Lord, for when He comes. We greet Him as Savior and King. We ask it in His name. Amen. I see the King of Glory.